thank you very much for joining us on another busy weekend of racing on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. It is Irish Derby weekend, and we are really looking forward to the big one on Saturday afternoon. Now, we've given Rory De Largy a break, despite the fact, and I will reiterate, that we're not telling him he can't come on because he tipped so many winners at Royal Ascot. Not just winners, but also each way horses that did it 50 to 1, Ruby, wasn't it? 50 to 1?
Oh, Flotus, yeah, we're still floating along here on Flotus. Some pressure on Fran Berry this week, though, that's all I'm saying. I was tuning in here just to listen to Rory De Largy. No pressure, Fran, but you are up to your neck in it.
Look, plenty of handicaps, the car lads and all them group races, so it won't be a problem.
Well, no, I know there'll be cynical listeners out there who'll be saying, well, there you go. He gives loads of winners and they get rid of him because Paddy Power Pod, honestly, we did have this in as a week for Rory to take a break.
I had the same Dundalk through the winter, funny enough. I got that where you sacked.
That's right. You had a very good couple of weeks, I think, early enough, didn't you?
Oh, self-praise is no praise. Oh, I got that in Dundalk. Oh, go on, Fran. Yeah, get it in there. Funny enough, never happens to me.
Well, look, Rory will be back. Ruby has stolen my thunder. Yes, it is Fran Berry who joins. I have here in the script sent by the producer, Fran, did you have a good time in Japan?
I had a very good time in Japan. I was there for a week and I got back yesterday. So if we tip 20 losers, this podcast playing the jet lag.
Why in Japan?
I went back out, giant friendship between the Racing TV and the Japan Racing Association, the JRA. Obviously rode out there a lot in the past, and it was kind of like a behind the scenes look at Japanese racing and what goes on into it. And looking ahead to the Japan Cup.
He went to meet the Fran Club. He went out to Japan to meet his loyal followers, the Fran Club. That's what it was about, Rory. You can tell you, Patrick, you can tell you that he was doing this, that, and the other for Racing TV. That was it. Fran Berry in Japan to meet the Fran Club.
And the t-shirts are still there on sale, you know.
How many Group 1 winners did you ride in Japan?
None.
How many Group 2 winners did you win?
Two or three. And okay. Group races, yeah.
But yeah. I'm told they're like rock stars, jockeys over there. So you probably were recognised, were you?
Yeah, I was quite happy. We're wearing masks over there. I'm 2 stone heavier than last time I was there and people still recognise me. So I was happy with that, actually.
Yeah,
I don't look as bad as I thought I did. And it's good to get back there. That's the future racing in some respects. Yeah. So I'm a world leader now. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've sorted out our accommodation for the Japan Cup in November. We're going to bring this podcast on tour.
Yes, yeah? Definitely. I know well exactly done. Where to go.
We're going from Melbourne to Japan on to Hong Kong. We're starting in the Breeders' Cup.
Breeders' Cup
to Melbourne, right, Hong Kong, back via Japan. But even as for you were saying, but the jockey's been treated like rock stars. The once, twice actually, I was in Japan, was in Nakayama, which would be one of the lesser venues, Fran, is it fair to say?
It'd be a smaller venue, but Tokyo is the premier track and Nakayama is the second track in Tokyo, yes. Yeah.
Sonny, I was in Nakayama and you have to quarantine, jockeys had to quarantine from 6 p.m. the night before, 8 p.m. the night before, whatever it is. But as I walked into the car park of the jockeys hostel in Nakayama, I thought I was walking into a Premier League ground looking at the cars that I was faced with. It was just incredible what the jockeys were driving in Japan.
You'd never seen as many Lamborghinis and Ferraris in one place.
And there was even, one of those big Jeeps.
The Hummer.
Yeah. There's a couple of Hummers as well.
and the blingy Hummers.
Yeah.
I'd say the jockeys look pretty small in those, now, to be fair. They're big enough cars for a normal-sized person. Now, producer Mark is away, but he's left me a very long script to read out. So Mark, who is probably listening to this because this is his podcast, Irish Derby Rewind, which is available now. You can check out the show notes. That includes our own Ruby Walsh with Joseph O'Brien and I believe Paddy looking back on Camelot's victory in the Derby on a dreadful weather day. I remember that was an awful, wasn't it? There was talk he wasn't going to run that day, wasn't it, Ruby? But I think Coolmore loved the race so much.
That's right,
and they left him in even though they didn't want to run him. But
good job he did. There would have been only two runners in the race.
Oh, I know. Would have Born to See followed him home, wasn't it? It could have been an Irish Derby winner. Congratulations to Andy Keogh. I don't know if it's the ex-footballer for Ireland, but he has won tickets to the Curragh as per our competition last week. So more free tickets and competitions to follow. And that's it. Yes, that's it. Okay, right. We are going to look ahead to the Irish Derby weekend at the Curb, but we're going to have a quick look at a few of the races that are live on ITV on Saturday, because I know there's plenty of listeners who'd be keen to get a few selections for the action across the water. And we're going to start with the Chip Chase Stakes at Newcastle. It's the 225. It's their big day of the year, arguably. Maybe you could say the Fighting Fifth, but certainly a big flat day of the year, the Pitman's Derby, the Northumberland Plate. The Chip Chase is a 6 furlong Group 3. It's due up at 225. There's been good money for Sense of Duty for Tom Arcand and William Haggis. It's the 7-4 favourite as we record on Friday morning. Spycatcher is 4-1, 6-1 Edrack. It's 6-1 Glenshiel for Holly Doyle in the news this week, and 15-2 and bigger the rest. Now, Ruby Walsh, your thoughts on the Chip Chase?
Yeah, not very original, PK, but look, Sense of Duty beat Flotus at Haydock last time out. We know Rory Delargy tipped us up Flotus at Royal Ascot, who ran a cracker to finish third, and that form does look stronger than what's on offer here. Spycatcher, who was seventh behind Pogo at Haydock, that form is relevant to the race at Newmarket we're going to cover, but to this race here, I'm not sure. Spycatcher looks the only danger, really. Cheek pieces and helps Skycatcher, who looked to not follow through at the Championship day, which was at Newcastle, but it's hard to get away from Sense of Duty.
That's fair enough. Fran, I know you're still jet lagged from Japan, and you said to me, don't talk to me at the UK race of this week. But with anything to add there, we move on to
Newmarket. Yeah, look, Sense of Duty looks very progressive. It needs to want to beat. We'll give one at a big price to mention. It's Bielsa, trained by Kevin Ryan. High draw, stall 12, finished off really well at York last time, 25-1. I can see that one at run its odds.
Fair enough. Okay, we'll keep an eye out for the former Leeds manager. The Northumberland Vase is due off at 2:55. This is obviously the consolation race for the big one about half an hour later. Zealandia is the 6-1 favourite. Evaluation 13-2 for Keith Dalglish. 7-1 Mellow Magic. Gremia 9s from 10s. Also 10-1 for Reverend Hubert and Raven's Ark. 11's bar. Ruby, quick thoughts?
I'm actually going for an ex-jumper, formerly trained by Philip Hobbs, now with Hugo Palmer. That's Zoffy. Good first run for Hugo at Salisbury behind Spirit Mixer, who subsequently won at Chester. Zoffy went to Carlisle and beat Detective. Didn't maybe look overly impressive, but I thought it was always just doing enough in front. Stepping up another couple of furlongs and trip will suit. And at around about 14-1 at the moment, PK, I think Zoffy will outrun its odds from an okay draw in 6.
Yeah, same owner, but now obviously they're going to concentrate on the flat with Zoffy. Obviously, the connections have decided that he is a flat horse. He's not going to be a jumper. There will be an extra place in that race, as there will be in quite a few races this weekend. Will I move on to the Plate, Fran?
Why not? Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Why
no,
not?
No, the Vaz, Holly Doyle was moving on to Trusham, but Catbird Seat, number 17. Alan Kings has got a lightweight. It's got good polytrack form, and it's likely to get up on the pace. And I think at a double figure price, definitely in the mix.
Okay, that's Catbird Seat, Holly Doyle, Alan King, who could win both the Plate and the Vaz. That was the Plate. The Vaz is due up at 3:30. One of the big races set up the season for Newcastle. Definitely going to be extra places on offer in this one, either in shops or online. Rajinsky, Hugo Palmer, already given a mention, the 5-1 favourite. Trushan, what a really interesting runner for Alan King and Holly Doyle. They can't find ground slow enough for him on turf, so they're going to run him in this race. He has been beaten in this race before off a much lower mark. He's 11-2, 13-2, one smooth operator. Valley Forge is 13-2, 9-1 Spirit Mixer, 10-1 for the good-off runner, Banandelli, and 12's bar. Right, I'll go back to you, Fran. You do have one for this.
Yeah, look, Trushan, it'd be some weight carrying performance, but look, you got to take it in the context of being a prep run for Goodwood. On a warm day there, the Tapita does get slow, but I just think the weight, we're going to have to count them out calculations nearly in this race and go elsewhere. Alan King's second string is very interesting. Rainbow Dreamer has been dropped 4 pounds since running behind Earl of the Cotswolds on All-Weather Championship Day. Kevin Stott takes the right. He's had his win done since then. He's got a good level of form. He likes to beat it quite well. At 12-1, he'd do me each way.
Not too many flat horses having their first wind up at the age of 9, is there? I would have thought he probably goes into an anomaly there. Ruby, your thoughts on the Northumberland?
I found it a hard race to pick the winner of, PK, to be honest with you. And I'm going for one that's unlikely to win, but definitely could run into the money, just because he doesn't win very often. And that's All Right Sunshine off Keith Dalglish's. Billy Garrity rides again, coming home well behind Get Shirty at Ascot when he got interfered with. Wasn't going to win, probably would have been second. Same behind Valley Forge at Haydock, was placed in Musselburgh before that. he's around about the same mark. He's consistent. He likes to come from off the pace. He's in seven. He's going to need a bit of luck. That's the kind of horse he is. He could get very lucky and land himself in front, but he's just like one of those horses that seems to run after horses and never want to run by the last one. But I think at 14 to 1, he's a good each way play.
Yeah, maybe each way, baby place only, whatever way you want to play. All right, Sunshine and Rainbow Dreamer for Fran. One more race outside the curve we're going to look at on Saturday. It's to Newmarket, where I guess all the hacks will be, because the big racing story this week is undoubtedly the potential split. As we record, all we know right now is that Frankie Dettori and John Gosden are going to have a meeting this morning. That's on the Racing Post Broken this morning. That's pretty ominous, isn't it, Ruby? You don't really sit down for a meeting and tell the press you're going to be sitting there for a meeting if everything's okay.
Well, it could, just two ways of looking at it. David Russell didn't think when he went for a cup of tea he was getting his P45 either. No. But, you know, and Frankie's walking in there, who knows what way he's thinking. But there's obviously air that needs to be cleared. You know, and it's been pretty public what's gone on since Stradivarius in the Gold Cup, and obviously the next couple of runners after that. You know, I don't know. The air needs to be cleared, whether it's going to be we've had great times, good luck and thanks, or Frankie, you need to knuckle down here and fight your way back. Who knows what way it's going to be. All we're doing right now is speculating as well, yeah. PK, but like in everything, time will tell.
Have you been surprised, Fran? I certainly have. Ruby mentioned there the public nature of some of the comments last week.
Yeah, it's not like the Gosden team or the, you know, any of them kind of owner and trainer relationships or jockey and trainer relationships, but maybe there's a sense of frustration on both sides. And Stradivarius twice last year at Ascot, Frankie was blaming everyone else bar himself or the horse, if you like. And, you know, maybe it's culmination of that, just beating a short head in the Oaks and Emily Upjohn. Now, it came right the next day and spiraled winning, but maybe it's just a combination of things. And it's amazing, Ruby will know from riding, when things are going wrong in a relationship, no matter how hard you try or go at it, it's just amazing how it can turn. Last year, we were praising Frankie for how well he was riding by not riding too much. Now it's turned. People are saying he's not riding enough, you know. So it's just the nature of the game, Ruby. And
Fran, unless you're winning, yeah, you're wrong. it's simple. Now, you probably, if you're doing well, you're winning 33% of the time. More realistically, back to 20, if you're having a really good run. Reality is that's about 11, 12% for most people. So you spend a lot more time wrong in racing than you do right. And yeah, look, it is. And even, you know, some of the comments, like Frankie was at a wedding the week before Royal Ascot and he's been on holidays since Royal Ascot. You know, you're just wondering, you know, is Mr. Gosden going to put the squeezes on Frankie? Are you knuckling down to do this, or are you part-time? And you know, an operation like John Gosden's kind of needs a full-time.
I wonder, Thady, of course, is the new co-trainer. Maybe Thady's coming here and he's busting down doors.
Maybe he has. I don't know Thady Gosden, so I don't know John Gosden for that matter either, but maybe it is. And look, yeah. Who knows? But whatever way you look at it, replacing Frankie Dettori isn't that simple.
It's not simple at all. I know Paddy Power put up a market, as did Betfair, same market, and Holly Dawes put in a 4-11 fair. I must say I was surprised by that. I know she's got the retainership to the Imad Al Sugar, who she rode the winner for Nashua and the French Oaks, but I don't know. Yeah, very interesting to see how it goes. It'll all play out by the time you listen to this. Who knows? There could be more breaking news. Keep an eye out on the news wires, as they say, not that they actually exist anymore. Okay, right. The one race we're going to look at Newmarket is the Group 3 Criterion. It's a 3:15. This is quite open. You've got Lanacash and Sunray Major 15-8. You've got kind of form lines that we've seen before. James Doyle rides for Judmont and John Gosden. It's a throwback to the Kingman era. Pogo's 5-1, 8-1 Ever Given, and 10-1 and Bigger the Rest. Ruby, your thoughts on the Criterion?
I can see why Lanacash and Sunray Major are both ahead of Pogo in the betting after they all ran the same race at Haydock. What do I think? I thought Sunray Major didn't get the greatest run in that race. Same could be said for Lanacash. Cheek pieces will definitely help Sunray Major, and I'm on his side.
Lovely. So James Doyle to potentially stick his hand up and say, well, John and Thady Gosden, if you're looking for a stable jockey, I tell you what, I might be able to do a job for you, Mark too. Fran, any thoughts on this when we move on to the curl?
Yeah, look, the Haydock form is the one, and Pogo got a very good ride around that track on the day. Best look splitting the other two, but Art Duval is worth to mention. First run for a long time and running well at York in June. Travel like a winner all the way. At 10-1, could take a step forward. I'm not sure he's that far behind the rest of them.
Yeah, okay. Keep an eye out for the boys in blue at 10-1 and Sunray Major for John and Teddy Gosden. Okay, that's the selection of the ITV racing. Obviously, there's more races available for you. If you want to check out Matt Chapman's selections for the remainder, do check out the Paddy Power News blog. But we're going to move on to the Curragh because we feel that that is the meeting of the weekend, or the meetings, particularly on the Saturday, on the Sunday. Let's move to the Saturday. We kick off with a 6-furlong sprint. It's the Dubai Duty Free Dash, a listed race. This one for 3-year-olds and upwards. Power Under Me for Colin Keane and Ger Lyons is the 9-4 favourite. Big weekend for Colin Keane. 5-2 Pirate Jenny, guess what, for Ger Lyons as well. And he's had a few 1-2s in pattern level races this season already. 9-2 Hermana Estrella for Fozzie Stack. 7-1 Prisoner's Dilemma for Johnny Levens. And then you can have 10-12-1 and Big of the Rest. Back to you, Fran. You're keen on the Curragh, so you can kick us off with a winner.
Yeah, okay. The two Ger Lyons runners of the two of them, Pirate Jenny would be the one that I like most. Hermana Estrella is interesting back in sprinting distances, given her last run and only run since winning on debut was in the Guineas. Johnny Levin's done a great job with Prisoner's Dilemma to get him up to 100. But when I see him 7-1 here, PK, it's just shows that there's a little bit of lacking strength and depth in this race. And I'm very keen on taking a chance, albeit with Measure Magic number 4. Fizes are on first time in this mare. She's stepping back up to 6 furlongs for the first time. Wasn't beat too far in Cork behind Power Under Me on seasonal debut. Tink, after missing start and ace, she was on the back foot. And at this stage of her career, she needs to step up to 6 furlongs. She's 12-1 with Paddy Power. She'll do me.
Lovely. Measure Magic each way, 12-1. Ruby?
Yeah, the visor will be a help to her, Measure of Magic, but I'm going with Hermana Estrella. She just ran ferociously free for the first 4 furlongs in the Guineas and was still on the bridle heading to the 2-pole. I think dropping back to 6 furlongs would really suit her. Jamie Spencer takes the ride again, and I'm going to go with Hermana Estrella as, I think, the one open to most improvement here.
Yep, only had the 2 starts, a very, very likely race. Let's move on. Now, I had said on the running order, folks, the Celebration Stakes is the next race we'll look at, unless anyone has a selection in the 7-furlong handicap. Franberry is nodding furiously. So
do
okay.
I.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Emily Gray's the 7-2 favourite, Dermot Weld in the Moyglair Silks, with DJ Gilligan claiming 10 and the ride. Dylan Brown McMonald rides for Joseph aboard Knight of Romance, who's 9-2. 5-1 Carquina for Johnny Murta and Danny Sheehy. 6-1 then for Eddie Lyons. So 3 apprentice jockeys, albeit Dylan McMonagle, you could argue, is very close to a professional, but he's still an apprentice. Top the market here, Fran, or is that where we're looking?
Not quite. Look, it's a very, very competitive race, and you can make a case for most of the 11 runners in the race if you like, PK, as a €100,000 fillies handicap. Knight Romance was unexposed and won very well over 7 furlongs at Gorham Park last time. Emily Gray, she got beaten off lower marks in handicap company. German List of Form for me is not all that strong. She was good bit of placing by connections. Danny Gilligan's £10 claim may bring her into, but I'd be against her. And she's trouble for Jim Bulger's worth to mention based on her juvenile form. But for me, at the prices, Marbling is the wrong price here, trained by Ger Lyons. Ran really well on season debut in Gorham Park, where she's just behind Mark Arrival's surrounding. Looked like she got tired on that occasion. And you got to remember, she's well back favourite on Irish debut for this race last year. 10-1 with normal improvement from that debut run, seasonal debut. I think she's value.
All right, Keane and Lyons to the four, Marbling for Fran. Ruby?
And I'm going for Dexter Bell for Eddie Lynham. First run for Eddie was behind Pirate Jenny, who runs in the first race on the card. That was over 6 furlongs here at the Curragh. Travelled strongly on that occasion. Looked like it got a bit tired. Stepping up to 7 furlongs in trip, was previously with Kevin Ryan or Carl Burke. Kevin Ryan in the UK. Second run for Eddie Lynham. I'm going to take a chance on Dexter Bell.
Yeah, he can do well with these horses he inherits from other yards in those familiar Clipper Logistics, Steve Park and Silks. Okay, 2 of prices there in Dexter Bell and Marbling in that second race on the card at the Curragh at 2 o'clock. 2:35, race number 3. This is the Celebration Stakes, a listed race over a mile. And again, Colin Keane and Ger Lyons have the favourite as we record. 11-4, straight answer in the Judmont Silks. Wexford native at 134, the Wexford man, Jim Bulger. Radabarg, who made such a huge impression on day one of the season, 7-2 for Johnny Murta. Emphatic Answers, 9-2 for Joseph O'Brien, and 9-1 for Petroville, I should say, Fredo McGuinness and Tens Bar. Okay, back to you, Ruby Walsh, for the Celebration.
I found this a hard race. Straight Answer did come home well behind Dr. Zenf at Leopardstown, but it was ridden that way. It was ridden to come home well and looked like stepping up in trip would suit it. Wexford Native blew his chance in the James's Palace, if he had a chance anyway. Was started slowly out of the gate, and then Kevin Manning had to ride to get his position, and he just ran way too freely. Radobarg, it was good early in the year with a cut in the ground, Emphatic Answer. I think Pearls Galore allowed Emphatic Answer to get as close as Emphatic Answer did at the Curragh in his last start. I found it a tough race, and unless Fran fancies something strongly, I'll sit this one out.
It's a pass for Ruby Walsh, and that passes to you, Fran Berry.
Yeah, I'd agree with Ruby, and there's a couple of strands to this race. First of all, it's a mile on a round track, which is very, very tactical. They don't run too many races on it. This race is all done. Straight Answer was held up, as Ruby said, to run well, settle last time up and trip. It's a very, very hard track to make up ground. It often suits horses ridden on the pace. You can stack them up on a downhill run to the straight and get a kick on the lead. A low draw is crucial, even in a small runner field. And I think Petroville is value. He's back up to a mile. He's got his penalty okay, but out of stall one, Ronan Whelan should be able to rate him in front. I can see him running a big race. Maybe something will come and grab him later on. But for me, Petroville is definitely worth a mention. And if the rain, on the flip side of that, we've forecast 5 to 10 mils of rain. If that arrives in force, the 10 mils arrive pre-race, Radeborg is definitely the one to be with. Everything went wrong in France the last day. He got knocked down by his pacemaker, believe it or not, two furlongs out. Ben Cohn went in rather than out, and he looked to be full of running. You'd think he would have been in the money. And if rain comes, Radeborg is definitely the one that I'd like to be with. But as things stands, Petroville each way for me is worth to play.
Would have been a tricky old flight home, wouldn't it? If you're Johnny Murta sit beside the two jockeys after that, and your old pacemaker takes out your other. Oh my word. I know, Johnny be grand. He'd still be great crack, so I'm sure. That's it. Yeah, good shout about the round mile, Fran. I cannot think of a round mile race. The last time I remember a group one over the round mile, obviously this is probably done every year in this list. They used to run the national stakes around the round mile, didn't they? Years ago, there was a Mick Canaan won one on Musif. He never should have won. He can skip clear off the bend kind of thing, which I suppose he can't do on the straight mile.
He beat Johnny Murta on a very good horse whose name escapes me, but yeah, Mick stole it on the front end, and and next year Mick was in the job, wasn't he? So there you go.
Yeah, that does.
That wasn't in black and white, no.
No, would you stop, Ruby? Would you stop? You're probably older than me, Ruby. Probably.
Looks can be deceiving. I've looked a lot older than I am for a long time now, PK.
Yeah, I think I've had less injuries and less sun. Right, I have been to Nakayama. So right, we'll go to the race before the Derby, the traditional race before the Derby. Now it is the Railway Stakes, the Flying Six Furlongs for Juveniles. Blackbeard is the one that Aidan O'Brien has. Well, he's got a few, but obviously this is the one that Ryan Moore rides. 7-4 favourite. Arguably disappointing in the Coventry. Well, let's see if the lads agree or maybe think otherwise. 9-4 Crispy Cat for Michael O'Callaghan. Shartash for Johnny Murta in the Aga Khan Silks is 7-2. 5-1 the other Aidan O'Brien runner, Age of Kings, who was smashed up in the betting for the Coventry, but didn't justify that. Apache Outlaw 12s and Borletti is 66-1. Back to you, Fran, for the Railway Stakes.
Yeah, look, Blackbeard is favourite at the minute, and Crispy Cat is just disputing it with him there at this point in time. A couple of notes on horses running quickly from Ryle Ascot. Last year's winner, Go Bears Go, ran into Norfolk and came back to win the Railway. Cool Company ran the Coventry in 2014, so it can be done with a quick turnaround. So I wouldn't let running a Ryle Ascot put me off either of these horses. Both finished off the race really well. Blackbeard's seemed to get outpaced on a near to stand side before keeping on well. And Crispy Cat, well, he got taken out by the Riddler on two occasions when looking full of running. Despite there only being 10 runners in the race, he had a troubled passage. I think all things being equal, Blackbeard at 6 furlongs is a stronger finisher than Crispy Cat. For all that, he may well improve a little bit for stepping up to 6 furlongs. But for me, Blackbeard sets a very high standard. I think the Coventry was a very good race this year. I'm not quite convinced we've seen the best of Blackbeard. I think he did solo in front when winning the Marble Hill at Curragh. It was the first time he got in amongst horses in the Coventry, and he could well be better for that.
Yeah, he's looking to make a 3-for-3 at the Curragh's Blackbeard. Ruby?
I'm going to go against the two and go with Shartash. I think Fran is right. I think Blackbeard could outstay Crispy Cat, but I thought Blackbeard looked really fit and ready in Royal Ascot. And I'd be surprised if he's improved. Now, maybe that level of form will be good enough, whereas I think Shartash, of Johnny Mertes could improve still. Beat Age of Kings and O's at Nace. I know Age of Kings was behind Blackbeard in the Coventry. But I think the Aga Khan 2-year-old is entitled to be improving, and I'm going to take a chance on him.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for sure, Tash, and the Aga Khan sales for Johnny Murta. It would be a big weekend for Johnny to get a winner for one of his big new owners. Right, all roads lead to Kildare, the Irish Derby, the Curra. 3:45 is the scheduled off time, mile and a half as we know, and perhaps most surprising thing of all is Aidan O'Brien has only one horse in it, and that one horse is a filly. That filly be Tuesday. She obviously was supplemented for the race on Tuesday. She's the 11-to-8 favourite as we speak. Westover, who, if you haven't seen it, put it into Google. Basically, just look at the overhead shot of the closing stages of the Epsom Derby, and you'll see what a dreadful run poor Rob Hornby got on him in the Derby. 13-to-8 second favourite. 8-to-1 Hannibal Barca for Joseph O'Brien. You've got Lionel, Messi, Richie, Blair, not sure which one named after, 17-2, 9-1 Pisba Deal, no joy for him in the Epsom version, and 33's Bar. Okay, Ruby Walsh, I must say I was shocked when Aidan O'Brien left only one in it, and it was a filly. It's a bit of a, I don't know what it says about his 3-year-old colts. Obviously, Luxembourg is out at the moment, but were you surprised?
I probably was, but when you thought about it, it looks pretty obvious. What do I think? I feel slightly sorry for the Curra in trying to, it is their big race, it is their big day. I mean, people woke up the Monday after the Epsom and French derbies, nobody woke up on the Monday morning thinking, I can't wait to see Tuesday taking on Westover at the Curra.
Nope.
So that is the reality. And when you don't have Desert Crown, and with the Epsom or the French derby, you've gone back to 10 furlongs, you are very unlikely to ever have Vadini. But that's the draw. You said all roads lead to Kildare on Saturday. I just wish all those roads were full of cars. And without a big match like that, how do you fill the road with cars? Tuesday could well be an exceptional mare in time. But as she comes here, she's a slightly lucky winner of the Oaks, and she's been beaten in both guineas. Westover, to me, yeah, he got a shotgun run in the Derby. He would only have been second anyway, the way Desert Crown travelled and went through the race. So that's what we're talking about. And when you're trying to sell something, it's easy fill the Aviva for Ireland and the All Blacks. It's easy fill Croke Park when Dublin are playing. But when you don't have the main attractions, it's hard to fill venues. And that's where I feel slightly sorry for the Curra with a race like this, when it doesn't have the main protagonists turning up, it becomes a much harder sell. Now, how the Curra reinvigorates the race and itself to attract those, that's probably the bigger question and not one for this podcast. What do I think about the race? I actually think Lionel is the one. David Manisius has. I thought he was really good on his last start. I thought he ran well when he was beaten before that as well at Newbury behind Natural World. And I'm going to take a chance on him each way.
David Manusier's Lionel. Yeah, it's a great shout, because I was doing some promos for this for the shops, and I was watching the likes of Monjeux. I was watching Dreamwell, you know, that back in the day when it was the French Derby winner, the Epsom Derby winner, all met at the Curra. And it was great to see him. We just haven't quite had that, have we, at the Curra? Frank, can you figure this out for us, please?
Yeah, look, it's a little bit like Ruby says. I suppose Aidan's all his 3-year-old Derby contenders have gone schooling hurdles as we speak now. You know, that's sort of future lies, but with the exception of Luxembourg. But look, Tuesday, I haven't seen it since Salzburg 28 years ago, whatever it was now. Fascinating contender. You got to remember when she won the Epsom Oaks, she was only 3 on that day, and the running she was doing over a mile, I thought it'd leave a mark on her. She stepped forward at Epsom. She's had 3 weeks on since then. She could well be better again. She could be one of these fast improving Galileo fillies. And for me, against Westover, the classic generation form of Epsom, I think she is the one that I'd like to be with. Westover, the dream run to a pint, a ground-saving run. Yes, he did get badly hampered at one point, but he didn't have the gears to go through a gap when it was there. And then when he switched out, he stayed on well. I agree with Ruby, would have been second. But I think the form is opposable. And for me, Tuesday, of the short price horse, is definitely the one. Lionel, I used to ride a lot for Dave Manusier, my time in England. He's been on to me during the week, and he's very keen on him. I think he's not a trainer that won't travel unless he thinks he can win. So I can definitely see the angle there, and he's an obvious improver. For me, I'd be very, very keen on him. And if you want to back something at a big price each way, if the rain arrives, French Claim is definitely worth a play for Paddy Toomey stepping up to mile and a half. I think this horse is learning on the job. More rain, the better for him, but I can see him outrunning his odds. But for me, Lionel is the one that I like to be with too.
What did you see in the Derby trial that used to be the Darrenstown? Because I actually thought French Claim was going to run a big race and potentially win that. What was, like, I was quite disappointed. Was there something you saw there that you thought?
I think he needs a mile and a half plus.
Okay.
And he definitely needs a cut in the ground. I just think there's more to come. And look, if you get to 10 mils tomorrow and the 4 or 5 mils tonight, that's 15 mils. The more rain, the better. So if you're watching on TV or you're at the car, it's definitely a case of monitor up onto the off. But I don't think we've seen the best of him in Leopardstown. He looked today quite ring rusty and green and Cork and winning very easily. I think the race itself will have brought him on at Leopardstown.
Okay, interesting. I'll be keen to see how he gets on.
I want a quick history lesson. Was Balanchine before or after Saltzman?
Balanchine was the last one. Yeah. 94.
Was she an Oaks winner coming to the car as well?
Yeah.
She was. Yeah.
Yeah. What did Southwell win before? She won the Oaks as well, did she?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So it's a path that's, I was going to say well trodden. A trodden path, at least. Yeah. Saw the footage of a young Frankie Dettori on Balanchine winning in the Budweiser days when the infield was full of revelers. Anyway. Right. We'll see how we go. So that is that two votes for Lionel, or did you go with Tuesday in the end, Fran? Sorry, you were.
Look, I can see Ruby's angle with Lionel. I do think Tuesday of a short price horse is the one. And okay. For me, if the rain comes, I'll be back at French Claim at a big price. But Tuesday is the
race
one.
And he's tip three.
I'm just hang on a second. Who is your selection?
At least
when
Rory that argue does that, it's a turkey run a handicap and ask him.
Okay. Who is your selection, Fran Berry? And I will take the first horse.
Tuesday.
Thank you. Right.
You
okay. Tuesday on a Friday. So
I'm jet-lagged. I'm rambling here.
All right. Okay. Let's move on to the International Stakes. It's Jovan 20 past four. It's a Group 3 over a mile and a quarter. Max Sweeney, of course, has had some big days, including here at the Curragh, the 11-4 favourite for Ken Batting and Jim Bulger. He probably will need the rain. Rumbles of Thunder for Paddy Toomey is 3-1. You've got Vega Magnifico for Joseph O'Brien at 5-1. Bear Story for McAlford at 6-1, as is Duke DeCessa for Dermot Weld and 13-2. iCal for Aidan O'Brien, who ran a poor race in the St. James's Palace, but could bounce back. Okay, back to you, Fran Berry. Your selection for this race?
Well, on the rain team and Jim Bulger and Connections, be hoping every drop of rain comes from Max Sweeney. He just needs bottomless ground to be at his best. The English Champion Stakes, the Irish Guineas, winning as a two-year-old in the Fertin Futurity at Doncaster, all on heavy ground. So if the ground comes up on the soft side, he's definitely got a chance. But I think he needs the extreme going to be at his best. Vega Magnifico was a very good winner at Navan last time and could improve it quite a bit. Talk Duke DeCessa around a good race to a point in the Irish Guineas. And again, if you get rain, he could improve back up and trip. But for me, Rumbles of Thunder was a very impressive winner at Goran Park and Listed Company. I think the extra half of furlong here should suit well. Didn't stay 12 furlongs behind Thunder Kiss on Irish debut. And the way Paddy Toomey and Billy Lee's team are going, I think there's more to come. And interestingly enough, keep an eye on the Irish Derby form of Hannibal Barca, because Saisdae was just behind Hannibal Barca and Rumbles of Thunder basically beat her in a bridle at Goran Park. So for me, Rumbles of Thunder is definitely the one to beat.
Rumbles of Thunder. Ruby Walsh.
I know, and I agree with Rory. The Largy usually means have something on it, but I'm going to agree with Fran Berry here and go with Rumbles of Thunder, and we'll test that theory over the weekend. But I would agree with Fran for all Fran has said.
Lovely. Okay, so the two boys are on Rumbles of Thunder for Paddy Toomey. There's two relatively lesser handicaps to conclude the card on Irish Derby Day, the 450 and the 525. I say relatively, given what we've had beforehand. So we'll skip through. I've no price at the time of recording, Fran, but is there anything in either of those races you liked?
Yeah, in the 450, that mile handicap, just again on the how much rain are we going to get team. Number four, Dante's Pass, trained by Joseph O'Brien, was very, very impressed with winning in Limerick last year on heavy ground. Has a very good record fresh. I think a mark of 97 will see him. Should he take part and should the ground go up soft? He's interesting. Fastnet Crown, on the flip side, if the ground stays good, ran really well at Royal Ascot last week. A mile up to Curragh should suit her very well, him very well. And they're the two to be concentrating on in a wide open handicap.
Yeah, we'll allow you two in that. There's probably going to be about 20 odd runners. Ruby, is anything in that for you?
No, actually, for once, read your email.
You read my running order? Oh, my God. I feel honoured.
I spoke to Fran yesterday, and he informed me that we were doing Newcastle because I read the headline, which said the Curragh. So I then went down, looked at your email, went through Newcastle, and then
and Newmarket.
Realized that the last two races in the Curragh weren't on it. So
no, they weren't. No, but Fran said before the pod, I've got the Curragh covered, so I'm just assuming he's got a selection. And to be fair, had a selection of races. Right, Fran, back to you for the 5:25 then.
Yeah, wide open handicap PK, only 13 runners. You can make a case for a lot of horses in this race. Number 8, though, Crystal Black, trained by Dharma Weld. Big run on Irish Champions weekend last year. He was third over the course distance in a bunch finish. And I thought his recent comeback run in mid-May behind Hale Bop over a mile was a good start to his campaign. And stepping back up and trip, I'd love to see the stable going a bit better, if that makes sense. But for me, he's shaped like a horse that's still very well handicapped off 89.
Okay, keep an eye out for Crystal Black, Chris Hayes on board for the Moyglare team and Durham Wells. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Sunday picks on the Sunday the Curragh Irish Derby weekend.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Right, let's have a look ahead to Sunday at the Curragh on Irish Derby weekend. That does feature, of course, a pretty poly stakes. That's the big group one. But we have got an enormous amount of extra places on the Paddy Power sponsored Rockingham Handicap, one of the big sprint handicaps of the season. A lot of horses aimed at that. But we'll get to that anon. First off, we'll look ahead to the second race on the card, which is a cracker of races. The early stud fillies race for two-year-olds over the 6-furlong trip. And we've got Statuette, who's going to be odds on for Aidan O'Brien. And one assumes Ryan Moore. I haven't got jockey bookings yet. Zarinsk for Ger Lyons. She won over the course and distance in the Judmont colours. Matilda Picotte, who was a very impressive winner on debut. Papillo, another previous course and distance winner. Kovra, who's shown good form for Jim Bulger already this season. Good race, Ruby Walsh.
I think it's a cracking race. And look, you can't get away from Statuette. They left her at home for Mascot and sent Mediate won. So like that just backs up. We all thought Statuette would be the one, but the Ballydoyle, Coolmore, whoever Aidan is going to congratulate, basically Aidan, got it spot on there. But I was impressed with Zarinsk, first time up at the Curragh. I think I was actually working with Fran that day. I thought she was tough and did it really well. But there was just something really eye-catching and breathtaking about Statuette. Maybe it was her size. Maybe, I don't know what it was. The way she went by the line at Navan, round the bend to the ditch past the stands. So much to like about her. I think this is a cracking race. It's 4-6, 11-2. There's no each-way angle with the size of the field. But to me, this is one for horse racing lovers to watch.
Lovely. We'll keep an eye on and see if she's grown anymore as well in the parade ring Statuette. Fran, your thoughts on this race?
Look, exactly like Ruby said, Statuette, big reputation going to Navan. It was only the last half of furlong when she got down to go and went through the win line. She was just so impressive. Traction suited very well. The extra half furlong should be better again. Zarinsk, myself and Ruby were on that day, and she was very professional up the middle of the track. She made much of her own running. She'll keep the favourite honest. And look, I just think the favourite, though, has got that little bit of an X factor. And should Zarinsk and her get in a battle from quite a way out, and we do get rain on the day, I'll give Cora, trained by Jim Bulger, a mention as one that could possibly pick up the piece later on if the ground goes on the soft side, and maybe she's a bet without if you want to go that route.
Okay, keep an eye on Kovra, Cora, whatever way you want to pronounce, Jim Bulger and Kevin Manning. Yeah, Aidan's pretty good at naming. Now, these owners are important, but he is excellent at name checking every single, and it's growing the list. Do you know where the Westerbergs where they're making their money? The new owners, the ones with the two-tone kind of Opel, yeah. Yeah, so whenever you see Opel.
And Nike Europe now is the new one, yeah.
Oh, really? And Nike as well? He's got
known, Fran would know. Fran knows their whole investment portfolio. Go on, Fran, enlighten us there.
Did you not see Aidan going around racing Nikes, no?
Free Nikes.
I wonder how they invent them one for a horse.
I mean, if, when we see, Nike horse plates. Nike horse plates, yeah. That is, like...
With the Nike Air horseshoe.
Whoosh.
I mean, like they'll call their next one whoosh. Whoosh. Yeah.
Did he
yeah.
just say whoosh?
Yeah, whoosh. Yeah, they can call one of their horses swoosh. 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 Sorry. Swoosh. Yeah. Oh, you're a very brand man, Ruby. Good man. It's a swoosh, not a whoosh. All right. Swoosh is a whoosh.
One of the most famous brand signs in the world, like.
Sure, brand's not important.
You've never seen the you never seen the Nike versions of Killer Market, obviously.
Spiky.
I'm getting there.
Nikkei. All right. That's from a very, very good Phillies race to a lesser handicap, but one nonetheless that needs winning. It's a 6 furlong handicap at the 240. And I was going to skip this race, but Ruby, you said to me, I think I have one here.
I think if it starts to rain, definitely. And that's more so a draw angle. And look, there's plenty of it forecast. And I think if it starts to rain, you need to be high at the Curragh. And Goodnight Girl won here last August off a mark of 981. Went rose to 90 after that. Didn't have much luck, but ran okay at Cork in September, then off 90. It's dropped back to 85 under Mikey Sheehy. He had a run at Ferryhouse on the 10th of June behind Miss Tucker. That was Moss Tucker. That was disappointing. But I think with the run under its belt from a good draw, Good night, girl.
Keep an eye out for that one, for Sarah Lynham in the 240. Right, the 10 past 3 is the Paddy Power. Oh, Fran, you said you didn't have one. I know you're pointing at me.
I do, because I'm right on brand, and he's been a very lucky horse for me. Number 15, Heavenly Power, of course, runs in the Power of Colours, and he ran a superb race on seasonal debut over 7 furlongs. Last year, he's progressive. He was a course and distance winner at the Curragh in a maiden company, and he shaped like a horse that was going to come on for a seasonal debut, and is definitely in the mix.
Battle of the Lynhams. It's father v daughter as Eddie takes on Sarah there, and Fran is very much with Team Eddie whilst Ruby's on Team Sarah. So watch out for Heavenly Power in Paddy Power's colours. Well, his mother's colours, Sabina. Sorry, Sabina, if you're listening. I'm sorry. All right, the 10 past 3 is the Paddy Power sponsored Rockingham. There's going to be a hatful of extra places available either in shops or indeed on the app for this particular race. It's a 5 furlong sprint handicap, and it is headed on the weight, by Urban Beat for Johnny Murtagh, 105 rated. So that shows you how good this race is. Make a challenges in there and will claim £7. I've no prices at the time of recording, but as my father has a leg in Laugh a Minute, he just wins. Fran, what are your thoughts?
I think Laugh a Minute can run a big race, actually, PK. It should suit him very well, the makeup of the race. You've seen him run good race in big fields, handicaps, but there's two horses in this race who are totally unexposed as regard handicaps. Additional was next, UK trained handicapper, a very, very good start to his career for Sarah Lynham as well. I thought he won really easily here on Guineas weekend. He's only gone up £5 for it. I think that's very lenient, and he should take quite a bit of beating out of stall 17. And as we're getting extra places, the other obvious one, albeit, is number 7, Alligator Alley. He used to be trained by Joseph O'Brien. He was second in a Molcombe as a 2-year-old at Goodwood. He was won a Lister race at York at the Eber meeting. And he's only had the 5 runs for David O'Mara, but he shaped really well from a wide draw last time at Epsom. He finished off nicely, looking like a horse that's only finding his feet as a seasoned hardened sprint handicapper. Danny Tudhope is over to right. So them two against the field, taking on a bunch of tough yet exposed handicappers. They're the two to be with.
Yeah, it used to be just the way to go with these, Ruby, wasn't it? France kind of half his selections. Obviously, one of the British trained runners has 2 in it. Alligator Alley, also Adrian Nichols, son of the Sprint King. Dandy has got Tea Spirit. That used to be just back to British horses. Not so in the last few years, though.
Not so in the last few years. And Fran would know that, because he rode plenty of those English horses in the sprints when they were here.
Turncoat.
They were the ones to be on. No, it's called running a business, PK. Heroes and Psych, I thought it had a chance, £6 better off with additional for the last day at the Curragh, and it's drawn in 15. It's over under the stands rail as well, along with additional. I thought it was interesting. Well, not interesting. Colin King can't do the weight, and Jarlines is one that's drawn in 18, which is Neo Soul. But I'd be for the horses in the higher draws. I think if it rains, and yeah, I do agree with Fran, additional will be the one, but I thought Heroes and Psych could chase it home.
Okay, keep an eye out. There's 3 picks for you there, folks, for the Rockingham.
Just on that team as well, John Riggins, we better give a mention to certain Paddy Power's got a share in him.
Power, didn't he tip him up? Paddy Power, sometime host of this podcast when I'm not feeling up to it. That's his job title now, by the way. John Riggins, he put it up to us and it ran a stinker, didn't he? I think he did.
Yeah, and I think this race has been the plan for him, but it's 2 runs this year. His first run was good. He got upset in the stalls last time. Just wouldn't rule him out for all that. His last run was disappointing.
I remember now, he gave it to us at the Curragh for the Bold Lad Sprint, and he was, I think, 8th or something like that. And that was the time he tipped it up. But yeah, John Riggins for Paddy Power. Paddy, we wish you well if you're listening. I believe he does listen to the podcast. So, Paddy, we do wish you well. Best luck with John Riggins. Now, the 3:45 is the big race on the Sunday. It is the Pretty Polly, a race for fillies and mares. It's a first opportunity, I suppose, for three-year-olds to take on the older horses. Sometimes they run, sometimes they don't. There's a couple of three-year-olds this year. La Petite Coco, though, for Paddy Toomey. What an improving three-year-old she was last year. Somewhat belated seasonal debut. She's the 11-4 favourite. Dream Loper for Ed Walker, brilliantly placed to win a Group 1 last time out. She's 4-1. My Astra for William Haggis is 11-2. He also has Purple Pay, who's 11-2. Concert Hall for Aidan O'Brien, 7-1. Tranquil Lady, then double figure prices, as are a few others. Nice luck to this race. I'll go back to you, Fran. La Petite Coco, tricky to win this Group 1 on seasonal debut, though.
Yeah, it's a cracking race, really competitive, and good to see that we've got a mix of UK challengers and the Irish contingent. But look, Le Petit Coco beating Love last year was a huge performance. Paddy Toomey is strike rate. He doesn't miss first time out. You don't need runs. Ross Carby's declared for the race as well. She's 4-4 for the team this year. Earl of Tyrone, you know, the list is endless, really, as regards winners to runners. Wouldn't like to back against her, but I think you have to, given we haven't seen her on track and taking on a Group 1 your first day, your first run of the year. Dream Loper was well ridden and they're quite convinced about 10 furlongs for the extra half furlong. She got things pretty easy off a steady pace, and winning that Group 1 in France can be keen on an occasion. And then you're down to the two Haggis runners. Purple Pay, we're talking about her in the Irish Guineas, stable debut, big money purchase after some good juvenile runs in France. Excelled with soft ground, winning last time, albeit in Group 2 company. Again, has to prove she can stay stepping up and trip. And I'm a little bit surprised to see Tom Marquand declared to rider, because Dream My Astra, albeit in list of company and maybe not the best list of race, visually was very, very impressive winning it there. Danny Tuthope has won this race at Urban Fox in 2018 for the Haggis team. He comes here in the back of a big Royal Ascot winner win week. And for me, should the rain slightly get into ground, I think My Astra could be very exciting for all that she has to give to wait for age, two Purple Play, and the other 3-year-olds of £12.
Remember the dam of My Astra, my Titania? Wasn't she a bit of a head of the ball, wasn't she?
She switched her tail under pressure, had a lot of ability, not the most straightforward. And
very politically plot. Where's the real Cranberry gone? Right, so it's My Astra for Fran. Ruby, your thoughts?
I actually like Concert Hall. I thought she'd run a big race in the Guineas and the Irish Guineas. She did. Mile looked a bit sharper. I wasn't convinced, having watched her at Navan, where she beat Magical Lagoon, that she'd get the trip in the Oaks. I don't think she did, but I thought she ran more than respectful. And I think at this distance, 10 furlongs is her trip. I'm going to go with Concert Hall.
Okay, so My Astra for Fran, a Concert Hall for Ruby also in the Pretty Polly. Apologies for missing out Ross Carby, that she wasn't listed as having been priced on my sheet, but that's because I'm always handed the wrong information. All right, one more race to look at on the Sunday is the Premier Handicap over a mile and a half. It's the Ragusa Handicap. No price at the time of recording, but there is a Willie Mullins runner in these staying handicaps. I say middle distance or staying handicaps at the Curragh. Always interesting. I think there's one on the Friday night where he's got a half full. Talk to us, Ruby, about the declared runner for Willie, whose name I forgotten.
Berkshire Royal.
Thank you.
Hard to fancy PK on his last run behind or here at the Curragh, where he was last at 16 over a mile and six, drops down a couple of furlongs in trip, but he'll definitely surprise me if he wins. Horse with a lot of ability, but he's had his issues in the past, and I'm afraid, look, you always hate not fancying one because it goes and wins. People think, oh, they put me through it, but yeah, I most certainly won't be putting my hand in my pocket for Berkshire Royal, and if he wins, I will cheer him on. But outside of him, I thought Jim Bulger might have been the one. Dan Silla won it down Royal when it beat Scenic Look on its last start, got £10 for it, but I thought it might be the one in a competitive race.
Yeah, he runs a lot of his good horses at that Ulster Derby and Oaks meeting, Jim. So I wouldn't be surprised if Dan Silla did improve. Fran, any thoughts on the Ragusa?
Yeah,
it's a 5-year-old. That's the only thing that's putting me off really improving. But look, anyway, we'll see.
Very lightly raced. I think it was off for nearly 2 years, between first and second start. So Jim's kept it in training, obviously. So, you know, he knows there's something there. But anyway, back to you, Fran.
Look, a very, very competitive race. The Cork Derby is a key race. It's Safecracker. Johnny Murtagh's runner ran really well behind Hell Bent, who got a good ride on the front end. He was second there. Mazaman was fourth behind him. Safecracker, though, it just... not convinced he's the most resolute under pressure. For all that, everything may well fall his way, and occasionally could win a big race. Mazaman is quite exposed. Dame Rapide, big improver, so impressive the last two runs. Definitely wouldn't rule her out. But there's one, PK, at a big price.
Lovely.
Number 10, drawn and stalled two, is Golden Twilight, Mick Halford's runner. Won a maiden on the track, was a winner at Dundalk on two occasions. Lost all chance to start last time and was never in the hunt afterwards. Go back to his run of Cork on season debut. That looked like a prep run, if you like, for a big day. Up to mile and a half. For me, he'll be a double-figure price and prepared to chance him each way.
Golden Twilight, hopefully at a nice price in the Ragusa there. And watch out for Dancilla for Jim Bulger for Ruby. Okay, that is the weekend covered. What only remains, is to get your nap. And as Ruby rightly said to you, Fran, before we started recording, it was actually during the pod, is that Rory De Largy's naps went absolutely flying. So the pressure is 120,000,000% on you to give us one. You can have one from Saturday or Sunday, I'll allow it. And it can be any of the races we covered, as long as it wins.
You're saying to get two then?
if you're going to split your nap, that's fine over the course of two days.
No, it's going to keep it very, very simple. It's Rumbles of Thunder in that International Stakes Group 3. I think she is the value at current prices, and I think there's a lot more to come. And we might see her back in the Blandford Stakes at the end of the year for Paddy Toomey.
Lovely. The International Stakes at around about 4:20 on Saturday. Rumbles of Thunder is Fran's nap, Ruby Walsh.
Lionel for me in the Irish Derby.
Lionel in the Derby. Very interesting. And goodbye for you. Thank you very much, Ruby. Thank you very much, Fran. Listen, we'll be back next week. A reminder for those of you who missed it at the very start, we have got plenty of content available on the Paddy Power social pages. Just check the link that's available in the show notes for the Paddy Power Rewind, where Joseph O'Brien, Ruby and Paddy sat down in the Stella Cinema to watch Camelot win in the muck. And hopefully it doesn't rain too much. The Fran, a few of your selections seemingly want rain, but people are going, don't.
Definitely not. Race scores don't want to rain to Cora. There's no hiding place from it. But definitely, as regards selections, keep an eye on it.
No hiding place in wind either. I think they fixed that. I think they fixed that now. Brad, are you going to be working on Racing TV the weekend?
I am. I'm there 3 days of it. Looking forward to it.
Lovely. Yeah,
great racing.
We'll be absolutely sick of you. Right. Listen, thanks for coming on again, Fran. It's always great to have you. Pressure's on. We'll be back next week as always. Enjoy the weekend, folks. Irish Derby weekend only comes around once a year. Can a filly win it for the first time since 1994? Talk to you next week.